The Purpose Driven Mother Podcast, show number 7. What's going on, Radiant Mothers? I am Alicia Askew, host of the Purpose Driven Mothers Podcast, where mothers are having the conversation not about trying to be the perfect mother, but embracing the woman who they are. Hear from the most courageous and inspiring mothers who share their story on how they went beyond the apron, discovered their purpose, and are achieving their greatest desires. Peeling off the layers of their most vulnerable moments and lessons learned, these mothers have found the drive that they need to help them thrive on their purpose-driven journey. So stay tuned and learn how you can become that purpose-driven mother. All right, ladies, I am super excited about today's guest, Latara Bussey, because ever since I had met Latara, I was immediately attracted to her because I knew that if there was ever a time where I needed to hear the truth and I needed to know about myself, Latara was definitely the person to tell me what it was, how it is, and she would just give it to me straight. So Latara is the business owner and founder of LVB Enterprises, a transforming brand that offers life coaching, business consulting, and ministry needs to help women entrepreneurs experience transformation in business as well as life. As a life coach, social media marketing consultant, author, speaker, relationship marketing expert, and a teacher, Latara assists women emerge through her practical, tell it like it is, insight and coaching strategy. Yes, she is definitely that big picture visionary with a transparent way of sharing real, raw, and relevant truths, helping women become authentically clear about the next steps in their life. With unique custom services and programs, Latara is able to help her clients gain that clarity, teach them how to optimize opportunity, and experience prosperous living. She lives her life with the personal mission of being on purpose, for purpose, every day. And with Latara coming from a place of service, it is her goal to help others do the same.
All right, Latara, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast conversation today, because you have such an inspiring story, one that some people will be blown away by everything that you've experienced in your life. But it just kind of, well, I think that no matter what experience you go through, whether good or bad, it kind of builds your character and makes you a better person if you allow it to make it that way. So please, Latara, share your story with me on how you got to where you are, the woman who you are, the business that you're in today.
Well, you know, it's a long story, so let's see how brief I can keep it. you know, I and it's sad to say that now you hear about a lot of people who were sexually molested as children, and it's just almost sickening. But I was sexually molested as a child, not by one, not by two. I was sexually molested by 6 different people, men and women. Over the course of from the time I was about 3 to maybe 9 or 10, and it was a journey I'll never forget, but one that really taught me a lot about myself as I grew up and realized that a lot of the ways of the molesters I had, as far as in being a manipulator and a deceiver, because you're taught those things, you know. So, you know, growing up, I was a little liar. You know, I would deceive people, try to get what I did, what I wanted. I was a hustler. I knew how to hustle. when I was a little girl, I knew how to hustle to get what I wanted. And growing up, I did the same thing, and life just really. I had good parents, you know, wonderful father, good mother, and, I mean, just good upbringing as far as in, you know, very, you know, my mom and dad were strict on certain things. Even when I was with my father, he didn't play. When I was with my mother, she didn't play. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like it was coming from the parents. It was just from the outside world where a lot of stuff was coming at me, like the sexual molestation. And when I got older, I became homeless. It was more of a mindset thing that just kind of got into my head as a little girl that, you know, that I've learned people with a hustle mentality, and I know many entrepreneurs who hear this are going to go, what? People with a hustle mentality don't go very far. because when you hustle, you're always trying to get that next hustle. And so that was a lot of what my life was about, and I ended up homeless. I had what was known as a poverty mindset. And there's a lot I experienced from homelessness to from sexual molestation to the homelessness to marrying the wrong person, and I was in an abusive relationship. It wasn't physical, but it was mental. It was emotional, and it was very, very spiritual to a point to where I tried to take my life in February 2008, and that was my turning point. I had to do something different. I had to change something around, and the fact that my two boys were on the other side of the wall in the next room, when I tried to do it, it really kind of woke me up to the fact that, you know, this is not about you, Latara. This is about this is about what your call is in life, what God has for you, what you need to be doing, and how you need to be doing it. You've been running all these years from it because I've known from the time I was a little girl that I was called to something very different and unique, as we all are. And I just kept running from it. Once it began to manifest itself in my life, I was like, I don't like this, because that means I got to switch this up and switch that up. That means I got to stop being a hustler. That means I got to stop doing this. I got to stop following this flow. And that means my mindset needs to change. Right.
Right.
And, you know, I was a good person. And the funny thing was, is I always tell people, I was in church when a lot of this stuff happened. I was 20 years old when I said, hey, Jesus, I love you. And I was still messing up and screwing up and doing stuff, and that's a mindset thing. It was totally a mindset thing. And it was the suicide attempt that really made me wake up and realize that for many years I had been in a very deep depression. And that's why I lived with that mentality all those years, because I was a very depressed individual who never got the help that she should have received.
Right. So you have just hit on so many things that I want to go back to, especially just right now I'm kind of in the part of my business where I'm helping mothers to realize that they've been playing a victim role, and it's easy for mothers to fall into the victim role and just say, oh, well, I'm a mother, so I can't do this, I can't go after my dreams, or anything like that. But in reality, you can do all of those things if you stop that victim mentality. But just like life experiences, I held myself a victim for what I was experiencing in my past. But I had to break through that to get to where I am today. So how is one able to not stay in that victim mentality of their past and just move forward through whatever they've been through?
You know, as you were talking, a couple of things came to mind. And the first thing was that women, women, we play the victim well. And then as you were talking, I was like, okay, well, why do we play the victim well? What it is because I think we're nurturers by nature. We are born to be nurturers because we give birth. So we're born to be nurturers, but what we do with that nurturing is we turn it into martyrdom. We become martyrs, right?
And
so then when we become martyrs, it's like, woe is me. Everything is against me. Oh, whoa, I'm the victim. Everything, I'm tired. The kids did this. My husband did this. And the bottom line is, to get out of it, you need to experience a mindset shift. And the first thing you have to tell yourself is, nurturing is different than being a martyr. Nurturing is different than giving all of you to everything and everybody that you do.
Right.
Nobody told you you had to do that. If you're a nurturer, you need to nurture yourself too. You need to be nurtured. So it's a mindset shift that has to occur within you, and it has to be a daily thing. And it's so funny because I've been on this thing lately where a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I learned a scientific fact that made perfect sense, and that's that our brains are trained to think negative. And it made perfect sense. And because our brains are trained to think negative, when we think something positive, the brain's like, no, I got to turn this around into something bad. So you have to retrain your brain by daily doing something towards, guess what, changing your brain. Do something positive. Do something proactive towards changing. Wake up with intention. That is very, very important. Don't just wake up and say, whatever happens today happens. Don't do that. You command the day. It's your, you command the day. I'm not saying life won't happen. Life happens. And I used to struggle with that when I was in the victim, you know, hustler, poverty mentality. The day controlled me. And I would go, well, you know, this God's will, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. And, but what I learned was, is that we are blessed with time.
Oh, yeah.
That we can look at and go, okay, what do I do with this time today? Will I waste it? Or will I do something with it? Will I waste it by complaining all day long? Or will I be more purposeful when I cook and when I clean and when I'm doing my work? Mm-hmm. You know, people laugh at me because when I cook, I don't really do recipes. But I cook with intention, and I can taste what I want. And so I put the seasonings together and do that. And like, oh, this is good. How'd that taste? You know, what's the recipe? I said, I don't know. I truly cooked it from the heart. And that's what you do when you live intentionally. You move.
Right.
With the heart. You know what I'm saying? You move in a passionate way in which you're doing things to love on people and love on yourself and to be the best you that you can be. We're all called to a point of greatness. Everybody is a 10 somewhere. Figure that area of 10 out and move in it. Everybody is a 10 somewhere. Nobody is a 0 in every area. Somewhere you are a 10. In a few areas you may be a 10. And if you're attending a few areas, embrace it. Don't let somebody tell you you shouldn't be doing all of that. If it fits into your flow, go with it.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what you said about cooking without a recipe, I know where I'm going for dinner tonight. Just too bad you're about, like, 20 hours away. But I just wrote an article, a blog, about a mother's work. And I asked the question, is it that we're taking life for granted or is it that you don't know your worth? And like you said, everyone is a 10 somewhere. So it's that most women or mothers don't realize their worth. So they just, you know, they're using the time as a crutch for everything else, all the simple details in life that don't really matter. Like I said, the dishes in the sink or the vacuuming of the house, keeping the house nice and tidy. That's not your 10 area. Your 10 area is somewhere else that has the greatness within you that needs to be released and propelled. So I really agree with you on what you said with that.
Mm-hmm. And you know why women don't know their worth? I want to just tap on that real quick. One reason why moms especially struggle with their worth is because they tie their worth into their family. Stop tying your worth into your children. Stop tying your worth into your husband. Being a wife and being a mother are roles. don't miss that. They're roles. And them dishes in the sink, you better teach little Timmy or little Susie how to wash them dishes and how to push that vacuum cleaner and how to wash some clothes. You know, and I tell women all the time, when you get married and you get into a marriage, you don't take over everything that a man already knows how to do. Don't do that, because then you ruin him. And then you sit back and you become the martyr again, and you lose your worth. So just had to say that.
Oh, no, that was very good, very good. Okay, so I am curious, because you said when you were younger, you kind of had this feeling of your purpose. So was that idea, is it the same thing as similar to what you're doing now?
It is. It is. I always knew, I've always been, my mother, I say how my mother used to always say, she used to always say, you're just Dr. Bussy. You're always helping people. You're just always, Dr. Bussy is what my mom used to call me. I never thought about that, but I was always the one people would come to and talk to, you know, even as strange as I was, as different as I was still someone you could come to and open up and cry your shoulder on, and I would talk to you and always tell you exactly what I saw. I just kept it real. You know, it wasn't no lying, it wasn't no flying. If you came to me and you asked me if that dress was cute and it's not, I'm going to tell you, it's not cute. It don't look good. You know, if you ask me, does the orange lipstick look okay, and it don't, I'm going to let you know, it don't look good, but let's try something different. And I might guide you a different way, you know, and I just always did it. And here I am today doing that very thing. So I think that we're born with some natural abilities, and we're born with something that God knows already what we're going to do, and he gives us little inklings over time, and either you're going to nurture it and move forward with it, or you run from it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I see it on Facebook. Like, you completely give of yourself. You are always giving information. You have so many, like, templates and documentation that people can use to help thrive their business, to help make them become a better person. So you are definitely in the service of giving. And I think that's awesome because that's pretty much what we were put on this earth for, was to give of ourselves. And I have seen one quote on Facebook that you had said something about, it's not about who you want to be, it's what God says who you are. And so I want to kind of touch on that. And so how can one not get it twisted, not get confused between who they want to be and who it is that they are called to be?
Oftentimes who we want to be is who somebody else is. And we have to be careful with that. It's okay to emulate people. I mean, I have women that, you know, when I work in my business, it's like, okay, what would April Franks Hunt do with this? What would Cheryl Pullins do here with the brand? You know, what would Allison Bird do to bring in some more money? You know, so I look at those women. They're like my role models. But a role model is not somebody that you aspire to be just like. It's someone whose characteristics, parts of their characteristics, you go, I want to kind of hone in that area. You see yourself in that area. You're like, I can do this, you know. And I think that they bring out the best in you. Not the best in them, because they already work on the best in them. You work on the best in you. And I think that we make a mistake in trying to be who we think we want to be. And I remember the quote. I think I said something about you don't have to worry about the status quo. And another reason that we're stuck in that area is because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
And the Joneses' story is their story. What's your story?
Right.
But see, a lot of us don't want to work on. We don't want to deal with our mess. Look. Listen, I've been molested. I have been abused. Men have attempted to rape me. I have had abortions. Well, one abortion. Not a whole lot. I had an abortion. I've been homeless. I've been promiscuous. Look, these are parts of my story. These are points in my story, and I'm okay with it. I'm not ashamed of it. So when we learn how to get out of that shame. And that's a big part. Then we don't have to worry about being like the Joneses. So we don't know the Joneses' story. We don't know how their grass got green. We need to look at our story and see where our grass is still brown and figure out how to nurture it.
Yep.
And put the proper amount of water in it so that our lawn gets green. And so
and
that we're uniquely us.
Right. And I think it goes back to just people in general, they don't like what they see in their life. And so they think that it's so much easier, that person's lifestyle over there, they have it so much easier than I have it. Let me just do everything that they're doing, and I will have the life that they have. And that's not how it's supposed to be.
So no, it's not.
You speak on branding, and I want to know, like, how can someone rebrand their identity from who they were and who they are now to be?
I used to teach something, and I have to bring that back out, and it was called the authentic formula. And the formula is simple. The first thing is you got to accept who you are. Confess it. Look, this is me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ask God to show you every part of you and accept it, journal it, pray it, open, talk it out loud, talk to somebody about that. Realize who you are. Look in the mirror and say, I'm a wonderful person, but sometimes I can have a nasty attitude, you know, and because it's true, you know, and as a 46-year-old woman, sometimes I can get really moody, and I know I need to just separate myself from my family. I'm 46, I'm perimenopausal, I'm going to the menopause years, and some days I'm just nuts, and I'm just not a very nice person, and I can admit that. And on those days, I know it's time, you know what, you guys, it's not you, it's me. So let me revamp and refocus. Because I'm not being too cute right now. I'm being really ugly. And so we have to learn how to embrace that and accept it. I also embrace the fact I'm a crybaby. Oh, well, I cry. You know, I cry. I watched Stevie Wonder special last night, and I cried when his daughter came on stage and sang. And, you know, I cried when he was doing his the speech at the end, because I'm a very passionate person, and I truly believe in the cause that Martin Luther King was around for. So I cry. My son can tell you, my mom is a crybaby. Don't let Martin Luther King's speech come on. She gonna cry. Don't tell her you don't know something about Black history. She gonna cry. I am a crier. I'm a very passionate person. What I'm passionate about, I am passionate. You're going to know that I'm passionate about it. At the same time, like I said, I'm moody. I'm moody, and sometimes I might say something that might hurt your feelings. I don't mean to, and I'll come back and I'll rephrase myself. Mm-hmm. I don't do it often, but I had to learn to accept that. And after I accepted those parts, I had to embrace them. I had to actually, like, you know, mentally and emotionally and spiritually hug on them to love every part. And see, we tend to harbor on the bad and don't love on the good. And the more that you love on the good, it begins to overtake what's bad, right? And then once you embrace it, you deal with it. Deal with your mess. Deal with it. Don't tell God, here, you handle it, because he said, here, it's back to you. That's your mess. Deal with your mess. And then after you deal with it, then just get to stepping. Be intentional. So accept it, embrace it, deal with it, and get to stepping. It's really simple.
Yeah. And I think going back to you just pretty much saying, this was, you know, what I've been through, my traits, these are all of my experiences that I've been through, saying, like, who Latara was or what made up Latara, I think that is so valuable. Because it's hard for people to talk about their faults, their flaws, their imperfections, and still go about life in the same way. And it's not even about putting yourself out there, but it's, like you said, it's about accepting just life in general, embracing what you've been through to make that transition forward. So I really do appreciate that. Because when you do share your story in full and you're not shameful of it, then I think a lot more people will respect you in the end. Of course, you help entrepreneurs in the business realm. What are some key steps that a mother should think about before she goes into business for herself or for her purpose?
Okay, some key things. First off, the time. Do you have the time? The second thing are, you know, the investments. Are you willing to invest the money? And I'm going to put this out here right now for every woman and man who is listening. Stop trying to get everything free. Stop it. Stop trying to get everything free and then want people to invest in you. That's just backwards. It's just totally backwards. I always say that. That's my thing lately. Just stop it. So make sure that you can invest. I always tell people, women, I remember one woman said, I just can't do it. I just, you know, I'm trying to run this business. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have $20 a month to spare? And she said, yeah. I said, well, do you have maybe 40 hours a month to spare? Yeah. Okay. Why don't we divvy that up? Because with $20, you can actually go buy your domain and get web hosting. Right? Your domain, you're only going to pay yearly. And your web hosting, you pay monthly. So if you could do that and you can divvy it up, you know, you could have a business. If you can't even do 40 hours a month or $20, then you don't need to be in a business. You don't need to be in business. And because with a website and social media, you can have a business. But it's the time you have to put in it. You just have to put time. And a lot of people actually started just on social media. I know for a fact April Franks Hunt, if you know her, she started just kind of talking on social media before she even had her website. So it just goes to show you, it's just a matter of knowing how to get in there and then doing the research. You have to be willing to do the research and understand the type of business. You can't run a business like a hobby. It's a business. I ran my business like a hobby for a lot of years. And I had to stop doing that. And I ran my business like a hobby out of fear, and because I didn't really want to put the work in. But you see the results when you put the work in. So that's important, that you understand the time, the investment, do the research, and ask yourself, am I really ready for this? Because it is a sacrifice. And then for those of you who are married mothers, talk to your husband. Because let me tell you right now, there are many women out there running businesses and their husbands are not supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure that your husband is in on this, because while I am divorced, I am an advocate for marriage, healthy marriage.
Right.
I'm waiting on my Mr. Right husband.
All right.
So, you know, I mean, I love him being single, but what I'm saying is Mr. Right, you know, R-I-G-H-T, he's going to be there, is going to be there. And at the same time, I know already he's going to have to be someone who understands the flow of my business and the flow of what I do with women in ministry. So he's going to have to be that type of man who is secure in himself. And so you want to make sure that your husband is okay with this and show him how – this is where the research comes in. Show him how the business is going to flow and what the income potential is, ladies, because men are all about that money. Well, what you going to get out of it? They want to know what you're going to get and how long it's going to take you to turn a dollar. That's what they're – to turn an investment over, or, you know, to get the return on your investment. That's what they're going to want to know. And so you also, you know, you want to make sure that you talk to your kids and let them know, you know, mom's going to be doing this, and on these hours I'm going to be working, I'm going to need your help, and blah, blah, blah. And then set a solid schedule for it. You know, the kids are in school on this day. I homeschool, but my son is with his dad 2 days a week. So I go take care of my little niece. She's 8. Her lessons take me about 2-3 hours at the most, because most of them she can do on her own. Both, all of them can do most of the work on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the type of school they go to. And on Monday and Wednesdays, I do a whole lot of my work, Monday, Wednesdays, and the weekends. But I know on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have to be totally available to him, and I do work in between him. And on Friday, I do work in between him. That's because that's the most important thing. You know, and that's where you have to have your values and your priorities in place. Understand what's important, because your business can take over and your family can suffer, and that's not how it's supposed to be.
And then vice versa, your family might end up taking over and then your business can suffer. So then
it's
still kind of in the same situation.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where that balance comes in. That's where that balance and setting a schedule and setting boundaries. Set boundaries around your family time and your family and your priority of your family, and set boundaries around the priority of your business so that your family knows. My children know, like right now I'm in an interview, he's in class. He knows when he gets done with class, and if I'm still on the phone, he's not going to come bother me. He'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it. You know, it's a matter of teaching and training in every area.
And I think you might have left one important day out of your schedule, your agenda that you had said there, because you are a big promoter of the Soul Detox Saturday.
Yeah.
So what is that all about that you promote on your website?
Well, Soul Detox Saturday is about taking some time to release the mess of the week. The week starts on Sunday, right? So we get ready for our week on Sunday. We're ironing, we're doing this. And so, you know, we might go to church, come home, whatever, and do what we got to do, cook dinner, do this, and prepare for the week. We're going come Sunday evening. Up, time to go, let's go. We're going. Saturday comes around, and we wake up, and, you know, we're kind of lazy, right? And it's fine. But take the time to release. You know, like this past Saturday, I think I said detox from discouragement or something like that. And look at your week and say, okay, what discouraged me this week? And I don't want to carry it into next week. So let me think about it. Let me pray on it. Let me journal it. Let me breathe through it. Breathing is so very important to not just your lungs, your body, but to your soul. And oftentimes on Saturday, I get up early and I'm reading my Bible. I do a lot of thinking and preparing in my mind, you know, and I tend to eat better on Saturdays, too. I don't eat real bad on Saturdays because that's important, that you take a day of the week and just detox from the mess, because a week can be hard, and we might even recognize it because we've just been going, and then we're wondering why we're burnt out on the weekend. Take a moment and detox. You know, find something good to do. Go fly a kite with your kids. Go play soccer.
Exactly.
You know, go ride the bike somewhere. Go take a walk at a park. Just get away from the mess.
Mm-hmm. And I have been reading a book called Breathe by Priscilla Shearer. And she talks about having a Sabbath day, a seventh day. So like you said, the week starts on Sunday. So on the seventh day, you kind of take that day to appreciate your accomplishments through the week, kind of release everything that you've been going through, and just kind of have a more peace about going into the next week.
Yeah,
right.
Saturday is a Sabbath day for me. I don't do any kind of strenuous work or anything until the evening time when the sun goes down. So kind of from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, I'm just kind of in this different zone of, like you said, it's a rest. It's a rest.
Man, Latari, you have definitely provided some great, insightful information just for mothers that will be able to kind of, you know, discover themselves, rebrand their identity, and then even, you know, take that next step in looking into starting a business. And I know that you have a growing Facebook group. So can you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah, I will. Women Emerge, it started as me doing a series of calls about basically life emerging. And I love branding, and I began to really talk to women about the brand identity, personal branding. And it basically right now, it's a branding group. And it is one of the strongest groups that I've ever been in, not just because it's my group, but because of what it offers and how I can assist women by encouraging them to build a brand that speaks you. You know, be authentic in your brand. Be who you are and don't be ashamed of it. And let's set some strategy around it so you're not going around all willy-nilly. You have intention.
Right.
You have purpose in building your brand. That's a huge thing with women. They really are just kind of aimless sometimes in business. And it's because they're just all over the place with things and trying to be the martyrs. So basically, you know, it's an awesome group. You're a part of it.
I'm definitely going to give my little two cents about it.
I think it's a wonderful group for women to join and to learn more about branding and to get deeper into the strategy of brand marketing and how to flow with your personality in it.
Yeah, I absolutely love the group because there's just some groups that just have so much randomness and disorganization to it that there's no point in me following it because it's not helping me, it's not helping my business. But for the group, like Women Emerge, that actually has valuable information, like all the stuff that Lotara provides on this Facebook group, it truly helps set up your system, set up your business so that you can see the success that you want to see. And then, most importantly, like I said, it goes back to that service. She is a big component of service, so all of this stuff is free at no cost. She gives her time, her energy to just help other people see them succeed. So I really do speak highly of this group.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, I do give away a lot for free. I learn from some of the best that you give. You know, every now and then I'll promote a product I have or something like that, and I do have groups that I have that focus and function. But this is just really about helping women to set some strategies. And, yeah, I coach. Yeah, I have groups. Yeah, you can purchase stuff for me, but I want you to come into this group and I want you to just share and learn and grow with no fear of, what's she going to try to get from me? So,
well, it has truly been an honor to have you on our podcast today. And where can people connect with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, of course, the Women Emerge group, I love it. I'm in there all day long for the most part. And also, you can find me at my site, latarabussey.com. My Facebook page is Latara V. Bussey. And Twitter, Latara Bussey, or just email me, latara@latarabussey.com.
Wow, you just heard the powerful words from Latara Bussey. And remember, it is not about how the Joneses got to where they are today and what they're doing in their life that may seem perfect or flawless. You have your own story. You have your own grasp. And you have to learn how to nurture what you have so that you can bring out those true qualities and be the best that you can be. And if you still feel like you are going through life on a hamster wheel, unfulfilled, like there is just no meaning behind any of the actions that you are doing, head on over to thepurposedrivenmother.com and take the assessment so that you can unleash the purpose that is within you and gain clarity on how you can walk purposefully in your golden life. Until next time, stay radiant and let your light shine.